Take your Bibles now. Remain standing with me, if you will. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 14, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14. We'll read verses 22 through verse 32 this morning responsively. I'll read verse number 22 out loud, and then you'll read verse 23 with me, and we'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 32. Matthew chapter number 14, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Let's read verse number 2 together. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to be here in church. Lord, we thank you for the Christian life. Lord, thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Each and every one of us has spent time this week in it, reading, thinking about your Word, meditating on it. Lord, seeing the goodness of you in our lives. Lord, we've all done that. But Lord, thank you for your church, a place that we can come. Lord, we can come together, Lord, and encourage one another. Lord, strengthen each other in the faith. Lord, be a blessing in being able to hear the needs, being able to pray for one another. Lord, all this is preliminary. Now we come to the most important thing, though. Lord, we've loved the singing, we've loved the fellowship. But now, as the Word of God is opened to us and preached, may our minds be in tune with the same Word that we've read this week. May our hearts be yielded to the same Holy Spirit that we've yielded to already this week and even today. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches, please. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm here in Matthew chapter 14. It's a very interesting passage, and if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you today. Jesus has just finished feeding what we call the 5,000. You have to realize there were probably upwards of 20,000 plus people there. Bible says there were 5,000 men there. If there were 5,000 men, I'll guarantee there was a heap of women. And if there was a heap of women, there's a lot of kids. That would be like Jesus feeding the entire city of Martinsburg with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Think about that. And this huge crowd is finally, Jesus has wound things down. And he's trying to get them to leave. When I was in Indiana and I worked for Brother Hiles, our church averaged about 22 to 24,000 people every Sunday. I know what it's like to disperse a crowd like that. It takes a little while. You don't dismiss church and then 3 minutes later it's empty, all right? Especially if they're Baptist, they can't even find the door in 3 minutes. But this huge crowd is beginning to disperse. And the disciples said, Lord, what should we do? He said, I want you to get into a boat, and I want you to go across the Sea of Galilee, and I'll meet you over there tomorrow. So, as Jesus disperses the crowd, the disciples go down, and they get a ship, and they get ready, and they get towards the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm kicks up. The Bible says that the wind was boisterous and contrary. In other words, it was blowing the wrong direction. Boy, there's nothing worse than being out in the water trying to go across it and the wind's going the wrong direction. So that takes place, and they're in the middle of it, and the waves are contrary. The waves are getting higher, and everything is taking place. And here's what is very interesting to me. It's dark. It says it's in the fourth watch of the night. That's that part of the night from about 3 in the morning to 7 in the morning. You know, the worst time of night to be awake. You say, why? Because your body is at its tiredest. Those of you that have ever had to work midnight, you know what I'm talking about. That 3 o'clock in the morning hour to about 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. is just like, okay, get it over with. Your body is just naturally ready. It's the end of the sleep phase, so to speak. And while they're in the middle of this, Jesus has been up in a mountain praying. I find it interesting. These disciples are out there. By the way, most of them were fishermen. You got to understand, these guys weren't like most of us that wouldn't know what they're doing out there. These guys lived on the water. They were used to this. And yet they were afraid. When a fisherman gets afraid, it's time to get worried, all right? It's kind of like my daughter was afraid of tornadoes and storms when she was little. That was just last week. When my daughter was afraid of storms, she had seen The Wizard of Oz, and she still hates that movie because she thinks a tornado is coming every time a storm comes. And we pester her with it all the time still. But she would be afraid, and I'd say, look, everything's fine. But Daddy, I said, look, do I look nervous? No. When I tell you to get nervous, it's time to get nervous. Until then, don't worry about it. And Jesus was basically the same way. He was saying, look, these fishermen are afraid, but the Lord wasn't afraid. Now, Jesus knows the disciples are struggling out there, and Jesus takes a shortcut. He didn't get in a boat. He just decided to walk across the water to get to the other side. It's about a 7 or 8 mile journey to get from one side to the other. As he's walking out across the water, you say, why did he do that? Because he could. Why walk around when you can walk across? Amen. As he's walking across, the disciples look out in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the wind, and the boat going up and down. And my dad and I went deep sea fishing off the coast of South Carolina one time when I was an assistant pastor down there. We had 12-foot waves. We spent 6 hours looking at the sky and 6 hours looking at the water. It was just like this all day long. And it was, I mean, it was constant, up and down and up and down. And I kind of understand that a little bit. There was guys feeding fish all day. I won't tell you how they were doing it, but they lost their breakfast. They look up and see this person walking on the water. And don't you love the theology change of our wonderful disciples? They thought they saw a ghost. It's a ghost. It's a spirit. And they call out and said, who are you? That's a dumb question. You know, you're out in the middle of the water. You can't see land virtually. And you're in a storm and they see something walking across. And they think it's Casper the ghost or something. And the stupidity of all stupidity, who are you? Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's me. Then the disciples, they began to say, well, how do we know it's you? You know, people say some stupid things when they're fearful. Peter says, well, if you're really the Lord, let me get out of the boat and walk unto you. Now, you talk about stupid. I'm not real bright, but I'm smart enough. If something's floating, I'm staying in it. All right? If I'm out in that kind of water, I'm holding on tight. I've been thrown out of boats before. I've been kicked out whitewater rafting, you name it. And I can swim well, but I don't want to get out in 100 and some feet deep water when there's a storm going on. I got a little better sense than that. Peter opens his big mouth and says, Lord, let me get out of the boat and walk to you and prove that you're God. Well, Peter jumps out on the water. He hits that water and Shazam. He said, it must be the Lord. He begins to walk out to Jesus on that water. Now, usually we applaud Peter. He jumped out of the boat in faith and walked all the way to Jesus. But may I say something? I have a different view of that today. What did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Did he tell them to get out if they were afraid? Huh. We want to applaud Peter for getting out of the boat in faith. He got out of the boat in doubt, not in faith. Now, Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. He didn't tell them to get out of the boat if they were afraid. He didn't tell them to get out of the boat if a storm comes up. He said, get in the boat. I'll meet you on the other side. Well, Jesus is God. Amen. Let me say that again. You sounded like a bunch of Methodists. Jesus is God. Amen. There you go. In other words, what God says, we ought to obey.
Yes, sir.
Correct? So, did Peter obey God by getting out of the boat? No, he did not. Now, if somebody else preaches it the other way, I don't think they're a heretic and going to die and go where the boogeyman lives, but I do think that the primary teaching here we miss. Notice, the storms and the waves caused Peter to get out of the boat. It's interesting. He begins to walk around on the water. Brother Josh, how about you play Peter? I'll play Jesus. You say, why? Because I can. Amen. He begins to walk on the water out to where Jesus is. And he begins to look around and see the waves. And he begins to sink. And he cries, Lord, help. And he reaches out his hand. And Jesus said, come on, let's get back on the boat. And I want you to notice something. When they got back on the boat, the Bible says the wind. Look at verse number 33. Then they that were on the ship came and worshipped. Look at verse 32, I'm sorry. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The Bible says Jesus reached out, grabbed him, brought him back to the ship. Notice that the storm calmed when Peter began to obey Jesus again. But also notice, Peter was with an arm's reach from Jesus when he began to sink. He was 3 feet away when he began to sink. He wasn't yards away. He wasn't miles apart. He was within arm's reach of Jesus when he began to sink. Now, most people are just like Peter. When the storms of life come, they want to jump out of the boat to prove God. May I say something to you? Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and get to the other side. After almost 41 years of preaching, by the end of this month, it'll be 41 years I have been preaching. I can tell you something. I've been through a lot of storms. There's one thing I'm good at, and that's staying in the boat, making it to the other side. I've seen big storms. I've seen little storms. I've seen wind storms. I've seen hurricanes. I've been through earthquakes. I've been through hurricanes, literally, and earthquakes. I've been through major storms and church splits and you name it. Been through them all, seen it all. It's amazing what the Lord has allowed us to go through. But can I tell you something? If you get in the boat, stay in the boat, get to the other side, you've obeyed God. I've made many mistakes. I'm not sinless. I'm not the Pope. I mean, I'm no better than anybody else in this room. I am a sinner saved by grace, just like everybody else should be. I am far from perfect. Did you hear that? I'm far from it. But I've learned to stay in the boat to get to the other side of God's will. I've learned to stay in the boat and get to the other side of God's will. Grace Baptist Church, this church was birthed in the middle of a hurricane, spiritually speaking.
Yes.
Really was. Much opposition. But you had a preacher that said, I'm just going to stay in the boat and get to the other side. I'm not going to jump out.
Amen.
Today, I want to share a simple truth with you, but maybe one of the most profound truths that you'll ever hear. Number one, my outline's real simple. Number one, get in the boat. Get in the boat. Did you know that if you're not saved, you're not even in the boat? Say, what's being saved mean, preacher? What's this being saved? All of us are sinners. Every human being that's ever been born is a sinner. That means this, because we're sinners, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. A few weeks ago, I preached on hell. People don't do it much anymore, but it's still in the Bible. God didn't change it. And the penalty for sin has not changed. By the way, God did not create hell for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, according to the book of Matthew. And Satan sinned and was cast out of heaven long before earth and man were created. But watch this. When man sinned, he listened to Satan and not God. And God had to inflict the same punishment on man because it was the same sin that Satan and the angels had done. God would lose his justice and God would cease being God if God allowed man to sin and get away with it. So man was destined to hell because of sin. But God loved man so much that he made a way where we didn't have to die and go to hell. He said, though the penalty is there, one could pay the penalty for all, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He shed his blood at Calvary and died, was buried, resurrected. He conquered death. He became our high priest, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And if we'll just trust what Jesus did to take us to heaven, we're saved. By the way, it doesn't come by getting baptized. It doesn't come by joining a church. It doesn't come by you being a good person and hopefully your good outweighs your bad. Say why? Because you could not do enough good to get to heaven. Even if you could live without sin, which you cannot do. Going to heaven is more than just being sinless. It's having righteousness. And God said our righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, we have to submit our unrighteousness to God's righteousness. Say, well, you have to turn from your sins, preacher. No, you don't. You can't turn from your sins. You're a sinner. Say, well, what is repentance? Repentance is this. The moment you realize that your righteousness will not get you to heaven. That you need a Savior and you turn to that Savior and what he did for you to take you to heaven. That is biblical repentance. Yes, you are turning from your own righteousness and submitting to the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God. Getting saved is not a matter of turning from your sin. You say, why? Because you're going to be a sinner to the day you die. I'm going to be a sinner to the day I die. But if I go from trusting my own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the moment I do that, Jesus comes in as our advocate and he applies his righteousness to our account. It's called the imputed righteousness of God. The moment you get saved, not only is your sin washed away, but God adds the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. And you can stand before him righteous because you have the righteousness of Christ on your account. He took our unrighteousness on his account and put his righteousness on our account. But you don't get it by getting baptized. I've said this before, say it again. You can get baptized in every baptistry in town. You can get baptized in every creek, every pond, know every tadpole by name, and die and go to hell. It's water. It's not holy water. You can't put a hole in water. Amen. It's not special water. It came right out of the same well that you drank out of. It came out of the ground like any other water. It's not special. It's set aside for a special purpose, but it gets cleaned. It gets changed. I can tell you something. Water doesn't wash away sin. Only the blood of Christ washes away sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, you've got to get into the boat of salvation to be able to even find what the will of God is. Say, why is that? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Did you know the person that hates God most, like Nancy Pelosi or Chuckie Schumer or AOC or whoever? Did you know the people that hate God the most, God's willing to save? See, well, that person could not get saved. They can if they'll trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, you believe in deathbed confessions? No, I believe in deathbed salvation. Seen it happen over and over and over again. Say, well, you believe a murderer could go to heaven? Yeah, have you ever heard of the Apostle Paul? Have you heard of King David? Have you heard of Moses? All three of them are guilty of murder. So I guess God can save a murderer. Say, well, preacher, there are sinners. Yeah, so are you. So am I. Salvation isn't for the perfect. It's to make the imperfect perfect before God. That's what it's for. So, first of all, you got to get in the boat. You got to get saved. But once you're in the boat, can I tell you something? Stay in the boat. I think that every Christian ought to join a real church. Please don't get angry at me, but I'm going to say this. There's no such thing as a universal church or an invisible church. Invisible churches have invisible members and give invisible tithes. Isn't it amazing? These people that believe in invisibilism sure take a visible offering. That word invisible or universal is a Catholic term. By the way, that is what the word Catholic means, universal. They believe that every Christian makes up the church. No. The word church means called out assembly. All of Christians have never been called out together to assemble. That won't take place until the rapture. That's why after the rapture, you have the feast of the bride in heaven. We are not the bride of Christ till we get to heaven. We're just betrothed right now. We don't become the bride. We don't have the wedding till the rapture takes place. Everybody doing all right? Well, it's called the rapture of the church. No, it's called the rapture of the saved, not the church. The church can't be raptured all at one time. Say why? Because they haven't been assembled all together yet. Not till we get to heaven will we have the church of the redeemed. Everybody doing okay? So I believe that God, by the way, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built a church, not a temple. He built a church, not a synagogue. It met on the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. No, Jesus did away with the temple. He did away with the synagogue in the Old Testament. He said, look, destroy the temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. And the religious people are the ones that crucified him. It was the chief priests. It was the religious people and the churches that mock and mimic and adhere to the temple worship are in contrary to Scripture. Colossians 2 said he nailed all those things to the cross. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I believe that once you get saved, you ought to get into the ship of the church. I think you ought to join it. I think you ought to be a part of it. I think we ought to be faithful to it, as our Sunday school lesson said this morning. I think we ought to invite people to get into the boat with us. Faithfulness may be the most important quality, because if you're here, God's got a chance of helping you. Did you know that there's people all over this country right now not getting help because churches are closed down? Or you got false preachers up there preaching their sermonettes, smoking on their cigarette that they got in their kitchenette. Bunch of little Twinkies. Afraid to get up. I don't blame our country's problem on the White House. I blame it on the church house. You got a bunch of sissy back preachers, if they even have a backbone, afraid to preach the word of God. Well, let's find out what everybody wants. Let's do this to be culturally accepted. Folks, have you seen the culture out there? I don't want accepted by it. I want them to accept Christ, not be accepted by them. We are to come out from them and be separate from them, not go to them and find out what they want and be like them. Say, well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you. Well, I don't mean that as a compliment. Too bad. Took it that way. You see, if you're faithful, by the way, God is faithful. If we are faithful, we're where we're to be, when we're to be there, hearing what we're to hear, God can use that to help change our life and help get us through the storm on the boat. So, get into the boat. I think that you ought to get into the boat. A, of getting saved. B, of the church. C, I think that you ought to get in the boat of telling other people about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? I'm a crazy, independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist. Can I tell you why? Because that's what Jesus was. Say, how do you know Jesus was Baptist? Who baptized him? John the
Baptist.
That wasn't his last name. He was one of the members of the church, one of the leaders. Everybody doing all right? I'm having too much fun right now. Hang on. But did you know that Jesus did everything necessary for us to get saved? But he left it up to us saved people to tell every human being about getting saved.
That's right.
He did everything required for us to be saved. And he said, now, once you're saved, it's your responsibility to take the gospel to every creature. It is our job to tell others about him. Did you know that not everybody I talk to gets saved? Amen, Brother Juan? Every once in a while, I meet some cranky people. Every once in a while, I meet people that they're nice people, but they don't want to get saved. Well, I don't feel like a failure. My job isn't to get them saved. My job is to get them the gospel. If the mailman brings your bills and you don't pay your bills, does the mailman have to pay your bills?
No.
Don't you wish? Guess what? We are God's mailmen. We're delivering the gospel, and it's not our responsibility how they receive it. It's our responsibility to deliver it. I believe every Christian ought to tell somebody how to get saved. We've got gospel tracts sitting out by the door. Grab a handful, take them out, tell somebody about it. Good night, old Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch is a preacher from yesteryear. He was rough as a corncob, old drunk. Amen, Brother Mike. Carl Hatch was one of those people. He was about as rugged and tough as you'll ever meet. Just a rugged old preacher. Carl Hatch didn't go anywhere. He got saved out of a drunkard's life. And if you didn't have gospel tracts on you, you're around Carl Hatch, you're going to get used and abused. He'd walk into a gas station or a truck stop somewhere, and he's going stall to stall, sticking them underneath. Reading material. Guys are grabbing tracts. Good night, Carl Hatch. He was an incredible soul winner. Can I tell you something? He had it right. We ought not be afraid to give the gospel to anybody, anywhere, anytime. And we ought to be ready to give every man an account. So I think we ought to get in the boat, get saved. I think we ought to get in the boat, get in church. I think we ought to get in the boat, telling other people about Jesus. But may I say something? Number two, let's stay in the boat. Don't just get in the boat and then when the tough times come, jump out. Did you know that man's natural reaction when problems come is to turn and run or hide? Look at Genesis chapter 3. We won't take time to turn there. When man sinned, God came to the garden like he did every day. And what did he say? Adam, where art thou? He said, we're over here hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, well, because we did wrong. Who told you you did wrong? You did. They were hiding. Have you ever raised children and found them hiding and you thought, okay, what did you do? Oh, I didn't do anything. You know, they come out of their room. I didn't do it. They're the only one in the room, but they didn't do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. when everything gets real quiet, when you got a bunch of kids, what's the first thing you do? I got to find out what's going on because somebody's about to get beat probably. Yeah, buddy. With the first sin, man began to hide. And may I say this, when trouble comes, the first thing people want to do is run and hide. They want to jump out of the boat. They want to get out of the safety of the boat and they want to do something else. Man, I've been around people that they really get afraid. Problems come when you don't expect them. If you missed last Sunday morning sermon, I beg you, go online, listen to it. Preached a sermon called "And It Came to Stay." It didn't come to pass. It came to stay. And I understand heartache. If you wanted to know the heartbeat of this preacher, listen to last Sunday's sermon. Death comes. Sometimes it's sudden, sometimes it's expected. Divorce. News of diseases. Fear comes. Discouragement. Family problems. Financial problems. Work problems. Folks, things don't happen the way we plan them. If you're over the age of 25, everything you planned your whole life is not the way you planned it. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. I did not foresee my mom dying in December, but guess what? She did. But I'm still here. I didn't get out of the boat. I preached the day she died, preached Friday a funeral, preached all day Sunday, preached her funeral Monday, preached another one on Tuesday, preached Wednesday night, kept preaching all the way through. Say why? Because my mama would have reached up and slapped me had I not done it, first of all. I promised her a long time ago. She made me promise, say, look, don't you let that affect anything. You keep things going. I'll be in heaven. Everything will be okay. Can I tell you something? Problems come when you don't expect them. News comes that's bad when you're not expecting it. I spend my life begging people to stay in the boat. I really do. It wearies me that Christians, when problems come, they want to blame God and run. They want to get out of church and leave and run and find somewhere else. Can I tell you something? No church is perfect because it's full of sinners. But find one that you agree with the doctrine with and just hang in there. Yeah, I understand. Sometimes there's a change that needs made, but wait till the storm passes a little bit and get to the other side, make your change, and then stay with it. But may I say something? Let's quit just hopping around. Let's stay in the boat. Can I tell you something? I help lay people try to stay in the boat. I help preachers try to stay in the boat. I counsel preachers every week of my life. I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell a preacher, don't give up. Hang in there. Hang in there. I was working for Brother Hiles at the time. I was traveling with a college tour group one night, and I was preaching in a church in Michigan. We got there. We did some soul winning, sat down, ate a meal with the pastor, and we went to church that night. Got up and the fellas sang and packed house. I mean, full house. I got up and preached. Let me tell you, I preached for 40 minutes. And I wished you could have seen the people's faces because every statement I made, they kept going. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I gave an invitation, had the fellas get up and sing an invitation song. And there must have been 300 people there that night, and probably 280 of them were at the altar. I mean, like, that fast. Amen. I thought, what's going on here? I tell the fellas, just keep on singing. One person got up, walked over to the preacher and hugged him, and 10 more got up and did the same thing, and they all dived down to the altar and start praying, and group just started gathering and gathering, and it just, for 40 minutes it was like this. I mean, the invitation was as long as the sermon. And my guys are, I said, look, take a break. Just keep playing. I mean, we were in church an hour and a half. Preacher gets up. Everybody's crying. I'm thinking, I don't know what just happened, but I hope it was good. He said, folks, Brother Bush didn't know what was going on here. he closed the service. He said, "Fellas, I want you to come to my office." I went to his office with the guys, and he said, "Who told you?" I said, "Told me what?" He said, "Who told you to use that statement?" I said, "God." He pulls out a news article, and that very statement was in a news article, an attack against their church. About six of these articles come out with different things I said. I said, we're all kind of going, "Ooh, okay, that's God." He pulls out another envelope and he said, "Brother Bush, would you read that?" It was dated for the following Sunday. It was his resignation. I folded it up and put it in the envelope and I said, "What are you going to do with it, Doc?" And he looked at me and he went, threw it in the trash can and said, "I'm re-enlisting." I said, "Good. Good." That's what I spend my life doing, folks. I've seen it over and over and over again. We just need a good dose of God and the Holy Spirit and stay in the boat. Storms are coming, stay in the boat. Get in the boat, stay in the boat. By the way, the safest place in the storm is in the boat, not outside the boat. I've gone whitewater rafting a few times. How many of you have ever done that? Oh, that's exciting. We were in a place where we were doing class 5, class 6 rapids. Okay, it was where they did the Olympic kayaking competition back in the late 80s, early 90s over on the Georgia-South Carolina border. Let me tell you, there was this one spot. It was a class 6 rapid. It was a two-tiered 30-foot drop. You had to drop 15 feet, do 90 degrees, and drop 15 more feet. Solid wall of rock on one side and wall on the other side. But if you got out of that little channel and went over here, he said, "Don't go over there." He said, "If you go over there," he said, "we've already had 4 people die over there this year. It's you're going to die." He said, "So when we turn the boat and I say paddle, paddle for your life." I said, "Don't worry." You say, "Why do you do those things?" It's fun. Man, we got down there and turned that boat, and well, we got just a little past where we needed to be, and I didn't want to be there. And of course, I'm on the left side of the boat. The wall is on this side, and we finally got that thing turned into there just enough. But when we did, as soon as we hit the bottom of the front part of that thing, I was in the front left side of the boat. I kind of went this way. Well, I had enough sense, Brother Mike. There's a rope on the side of that thing. I grabbed it. I got a paddle in one hand. I got a rope in the other hand. And I got a helmet on. And my head is between the boat and the wall going like this. And we're turning. And then we got another 15-foot drop. I was like the bell in a clacker, you know, like this. We hit the bottom of that thing. And they said, "Where's Brother Bush?" I said, "Man, that was great. Can we do that again?" Next time I want to do it in the boat, though. Oh, I've been there. I was with my wife one time and took her. She did not like it. Miss Pris did not like the water, especially when she got stuck up against the rock underneath the boat and I had to reach down and pull her out. We were going over the last rapid, and it was just a like this. Well, I was in the back of the boat, and when it went like this, the back of the boat went. I remember seeing her as I went over top of her, and my head hit her head, and I went like this. She's in the boat by herself. That was not a good thing. I came up laughing, and she was about in hysterics. Can I tell you something? I like being in the boat, not out of the boat, all right? You say, "Preacher, this sermon's personal to you." Yes! Safest place is in the boat. When the storms are coming, you don't get out of the boat and swim back to shore. Stay in God's will during the storms of your Christian life. Don't flake out. Don't run away from God, run to God. Don't get out of church, stay in church. Don't run away from being faithful to God, stay faithful to God. Get in the boat, stay in the boat. Now let me say this, number three, go to the other side. Go to the other side. Don't just sit in the boat. Once you get there, just stay there. Recently, my wife and I flew back and forth to Minnesota to go see my in-laws. You know I love my wife and my mother and father-in-law when I go where I had to go. We landed in Minneapolis and drove almost 5 hours to the Canadian, near the Canadian border. We were so far up, God doesn't even know it exists, I think. We were there the last week of June. The first morning I'm there, it's 37 degrees outside. I hate that place. Can I tell you something? When we landed in Minneapolis, it was time to get off the plane. I'm not sure where it was going next, but I wasn't going there. The best thing to do is once you get to your destination, get to your destination. While we were flying from BWI to Minneapolis, I didn't say, well, folks, we're flying over Ohio. This is where I was born. I think I'm going to get out and just jump out and land. They don't give you parachutes, amen? You can take your little seat cushion if you hit the water, but it doesn't do any good when you're from 34,000 feet going kee with your seat cushion, all right? Not a smart thing to do. Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and make it to the other side. But when you get to the other side, do what you're supposed to do. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, God wants you to do certain things. Then do them. When it's going good, when it's going bad. When things are smooth, when things are storming. Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side. There's people here, I think you ought to get involved in our church music. There's people here, you can get involved in our choir. Say, well, I don't sing very well, preacher. You've heard me sing. Don't worry about it. It's not a matter of how well you sing. It's are you doing something to serve the Lord? Many ought to be in Sunday school class. Many ought to be helping with ushering or greeting or helping with the grounds. Ladies helping with the nursery. No man ought to be locked in a nursery with children. You say, why? He'll kill them all and end himself, all right? God did not make man to be locked in a nursery, amen? Thank God for you ladies that'll do your tour of duty in there. Can I tell you something? We need junior church workers. We need folks to help in the church in different ways. By the way, this is a church. You ought to thank God. You're going to hear this statement a lot. It's okay to say no, as long as you let us ask you again. You might not be able to do it right now. That's fine. There's another thing coming. Hang on. I'm not going to quit asking. But don't feel bad because you can't do it. Someday you'll be able to do it. Everybody doing okay? Don't let anything stop you. This is my little fit time here. I don't believe churches ought to have cliques.
Right.
Us four no more. You know, you're not part of us, so you're different, so you can't be with us. That kind of stuff, I'll chase it out the door real fast. I'll call you by name for that kind of mess. You say, preacher, you wouldn't do that. Try me. I don't play that kind of game. I don't think we ought to go around gossiping about people. This isn't a church where if somebody does something wrong, we're going to bring them up here and trot them in front of you and tell you all the bad things they did. That's wicked as the stinking devil. Well, that's called church discipline. Show me in the scripture. First of all, you can't forgive them for their sin anyway. Only God can. All you want to do is find out what they did wrong so you can talk bad about them. That's gossip. That's evil and it's wrong. And you'll thank me when it's your kids or your family. By the way, before you listen to theirs, how about we trot you up here and let you tell everybody all the bad you've done? That'll stop it in a hurry, won't it? Say, well, you're just covering things up. I don't have to cover it up. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody doing all right? All right, hang in there. Can I tell you something? Don't let gossip and criticism stop you from serving the Lord. Well, I went soul winning one time and somebody slammed a door in my face. Only once? What do you mean, only once? I'd be happy if it was only once every time I go out. I'm not there to please people. I'm there to get the gospel out. Are you doing all right? well, I have somebody in my family and they just don't understand. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? I have family on both sides that don't understand me. It's all right. I don't let them stop me. Everybody doing all right? Did you know people that you work with shouldn't stop you from obeying the Lord and get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side? Well, somebody at work thinks I'm... Well, who cares? Folks, the people with the 14-colored hair, they don't know what bathroom to use. They look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. And a bucket of paint fell on their skin and tattooed them all over the place. And you want them to accept you as being normal? Now, really think about that statement. Do you think they're really going to think you're normal? I don't think they're normal. You know, the sodomy and the LGBTQ alphabet soup people and everything else. Good night. Go to the farm. You'll figure out real quick. Cow, bull, cow, bull. It doesn't take real long to figure it out. Amazing that animals have more sense than some of our people in society today. You know, from the time I was about 3 years old, I didn't have any trouble figuring out what bathroom to use. Did you know that the holidays ought not discourage you? Well, I have people that aren't here anymore. They've died, preacher. Who doesn't? Now, I'm not saying we should not miss those who have gone before us, but may I say this? Don't let their going rob you of what you're supposed to live here on earth. Can I tell you something? That's what this is all about. Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side. Stay in God's will long enough to reap the harvest. Did you know when you plant a seed today, you don't harvest it today? Did you know if you plant a seed today, it'll take weeks or months before you ever get to harvest it? Then why is it that you think once you plant a seed that you ought to harvest it that day, spiritually? It takes time. Be patient with people. And sometimes, like a tree, it takes years before it produces fruit. Be patient. Just because yours is blooming and bringing forth fruit, some people weren't planted at the same time you were. Some were planted deeper, amen? Some we'd like to plant deeper. You know, it takes time for a harvest. By the way, you don't plant corn, wheat, oats, barley, and alfalfa all at the same time. Some things get planted at different times and they get harvested at different times. You can't harvest corn right now. It's not ready to be harvested, but they're taking barley and wheat off right now. They've already mowed hay twice in most cases. Now, wait a minute. Not everything gets harvested at the same time either. It's not apple season. Can't plant an apple tree today and get apples tomorrow. Did you know in the Christian life it takes time to see fruit? I've been preaching for 41 years. I've been in the ministry full time for 32 years. I get to see a lot of fruit from my labor. But it's taken decades to get there. I got an email this week from a missionary couple in Costa Rica. I won both of them to Christ, and they were in my Sunday school class in South Carolina. They've been on the mission field for about 15, 20 years now. I've trained preacher boys while I was at Hiles Anderson and First Baptist under Brother Hiles, and I've trained preacher boys and preachers' wives that are all over this country, all over the world. I've preached in 33 different states. I've preached in churches all over this country that God's used me to help. My son is in a church in California right now while he's in the military. I preached a school camp with the pastor of that church, was an assistant pastor, and he's now my son's pastor. Isn't it amazing how God turns things around? Can I tell you something? It takes decades for that to take place. You're not going to do something spiritually today and always see its full effect. You got to wait. Melanie and Andrew are expecting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. They're excited about it. Did you know what? You don't find out you're pregnant one day and have the baby the next. It's not Polaroid. You don't. Doesn't happen that way. Takes a while for that puppy to grow long enough to come out. And then they don't come out walking and talking and eating steak. Yeah. As my dad would say, you spend the first two years teaching them to walk and talk, and the next 16 telling them to sit down and shut up. Pretty close, all right? Pretty close. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought to be patient with one another. Maybe instead of saying, well, they should know better. Yeah, how many things do you know better that you've done wrong? There's a man in South Carolina right now in a church. Their pastor resigned, and he's now chairman of the deacon board. I led him and his wife to Christ. They're converts of mine. He called me one Sunday night and said, Brother Bush, would you help us? I'm helping their church find a new pastor. Say, it took 25 years before that took place. But he got in the boat, he stayed in the boat, and look where he's at now. Sometimes you just have to stay in the boat long enough to get to the other side. Did you know sometimes God wants to bless you more once you get to the other side? Let me finish with this. Did you know that Jesus faced the same storm and the same wind that the disciples did? Did you know that Jesus faced a cross, being falsely accused? Falsely accused. And he did all that without saying a word so that you and I could live forever. He faced a storm that took his life. But he did that so that he could conquer death so that you and I could live forever. Do you think Jesus really wanted to face Calvary? I don't think, people can say all they want. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to hurt when I do it. But when it comes right down to it, nobody wants to die. God made us to live forever. But Jesus got in that boat called Calvary. And he stayed in that boat when they beat him with a cat of nine tails. When they pulled his beard out by the root. When they took their fists and beat him across the face. When they coughed up the defilement in their throats and spit in his face. When they nailed him to the cross, he stayed in the boat. Oh, he had one that said, "Why, if you're God, then why don't you get off this cross and save us too?" They wanted him to get off the boat. He said, "No, I'm staying in the boat to get to the other side." He stayed in the boat, and he got to the other side. 3 days and three nights later, he conquered death so that we could live forever. Can I tell you something? Very simple outline. Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please be still for a moment. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'm saved. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon today that I personally needed." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands, dozens and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come forward. We'll take the Bible. In just a matter of moments, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you've been saved and never baptized and like to take care of that today, we can. We've got everything you need. Doesn't get you to heaven, It'll make you obedient, but it won't get you to heaven. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join an old-fashioned independent Baptist church like this, we'd love you to come. You just come, we'll put your name on a card and you'll join our church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar, and whatever the Lord was talking to your heart about today, how about you talk to him and get that right. Get in the boat. Stay in the boat. Go to the other side.